Welcome to another week of Hour of Truth, and this is Paul Muller. I have Phil on my right, Walthall, and Scott Bishop and James Usler on Skype. And, boy, we ran it right up to the encoder shutting off on our service this morning, and fortunately, there's redundance in the recording, so the whole thing is going to get posted. But the recording the computer made clipped off the end. Not that I listened to it, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is really going to compliment what... Nah, I don't know. I don't know that it did or not. It was just... but... Because I didn't even say what I was trying to say adequately. I was trying to say the gospel, when you receive the gospel is kind of a package. It's a package deal. You get the power of God unto salvation, because the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead for our salvation is in there. And that same power is the power to remove mountains and cast them into the sea. It's the same mountain... that the same power that heals people, the same power that raises your child from the dead. It's that same. It's that power. It's in the package. If you receive the gospel, know the gospel, know you receive that power, and run with it.
Amen. And that's where. And I know what Davey said. It starts up. You know, the situation starts upside down, gets flipped right side up. See, that's the power that meets you in all those things, and that's the power that you can partake in all the time. I think you know, it was kind of interesting. Scotty and I were, I think, I was listening to Bob last week, and you know, Bob was talking about a testimony. But when we really look, at our life and through our week and through our day by day, man, when you engage in the kingdom of God, when you engage in the Lord, there's a testimony every day. I mean, there's just numerous amounts throughout the day, small situations that just turn, it glorifies Him, and it shows His power and what He can do in anything. And it's a one that it's just, you know, not a once testimony. It's actually... it's like an everyday testimony.
Mm. At least it should be.
It should be, right? Thank you, Scott. But that's the power of the gospel working. What changed in our lives was the power of God working now. It's not something that just happened 2,000 years ago, and a power to raise Jesus from the dead. And live with Him, and then it's all over. It's all done with. No,
and
it's working.
That He can raise you from the dead.
The promise He can raise you from the dead, and that it works in your life today. And that's what the testimony is, isn't it? Is the power of God, the power of the gospel in your life, what He has done for you in your life. You know, you take that. You know, you take that.
Yeah,
one.
That's that. That power to raise you from the dead is almost. Just the icing on the cake. I mean, it's the power of Him to change you and to let you live in Him here and now.
Amen. And that's really, it's actually boot camp to partake of that faith.
Mm-hmm.
To take part of His faith. And what I mean by that too, it's like, you know, we have the once saved, always saved, which is detrimental. It's not; it's a false doctrine. But you have all these. Let's see if I can bring it back here again. You know, it's talking about, you know, how we're going to have the faith when He calls to meet Him in the air. Are we going to have the faith that He's going to raise you from the dead to go be with Him? Are we going to have that faith in Him, that trust in Him? If we can't trust Him in our daily lives, if we can't trust Him in our daily situation, if we can't trust Him in the things that we do. I mean, we're actually fooling ourselves if we're not learning right now to have faith in what He can do and think we're going to have faith in at the end of these things.
All these things just become another thing that Paul describes as we glory in tribulation. So shall stop breathing. Well, I cried out to the Lord. And what happened? She started breathing again. Well, praise God. That's the way that works. But in that moment of tribulation, you learn by experience that the Lord delivers. That the power of God, the gospel is the power of God. And you didn't know it because you didn't understand necessarily everything that you tapped into, Scott. But that experience is starting to merge with your experience down the line.
And you see
other people operating in it, and it becomes the power of God operating in your life now.
Yeah. And day by day, I mean, if you look at
it, testimony and to show other people how good the Lord is.
Amen. Absolutely. And you see the power of God working in Scott's life. The baby that they just had. Over and over and over again. And not only that, what happened in that? Not only did he recognize that there is a living God and that it was by God that that child came back, but he also recognized that there was a greater power than him, and this was not something he could do. It was a recognition. I mean, it's like a two-part wave when I was hearing that testimony. Recognition that faith in anything, faith in all these things was empty. And this was something, he had to rely on something greater than him.
Amen. And I wasn't even sure at the time who that was, what that was. But I was reaching out for something. And thank God.
That was enough.
That Jesus was at hand.
Oh, amen. Amen.
The other thing that was at work, and I mean, that's seeing, when you actually get as a sense of seeing the big picture and you see the power of God unfolding in other people's lives, then it's easy to see that they've received the gospel. And I mean the whole package. It wasn't just, I paraded up an aisle when I was 5 years old and I committed my life to the Lord. And what's happened since? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, excuse me. The power of God is it's what I say when I say the gospel is when this gospel starts doing its work in your life, then sometimes it looks kind of ugly, and it might not work exactly the same as it does. But that's what I'm really talking about, the power of God, and you know, sometimes it's necessary to prove to you that his faithfulness in what I can't wait to see how the Lord's gonna move in this thing. This, you know, you got this treacherous circumstance that before you knew the Lord, this would be one of those game changers. It's going to be life or death, and you're just in fear. After you meet the Lord and you see the power of God unfolding in your life, it's an opportunity for him to show again how faithful he is and how trustworthy he is. And you can't wait to see how it meets it.
Well, that's why Paul could glory in tribulation, was because of that. Without that, there's no flipping the upside down situation right side up.
And if you talk about this stuff enough around people, then they will. Some of them will receive it, and some of them will regard you as
lunatic.
Just the enemy of knowledge. Just somebody who doesn't have the right to breathe the same air. That's and you know the thing that I was going to that I had been reading before the service was essentially that testimony out of Matthew, which incidentally says that twice for all the like the once saved always saved are going to run into conflict because Jesus says twice in Matthew that that's not the way that works.
Well, and the reason why, and just the reason why, I mean, that's a doctrine road to destruction was kind of like the example you said, well, I walked down the aisle when I was 5 years old and I said this prayer. Okay, well, where are you at from since then? Well, I don't know. I mean, has the power of God been in your life since then? Well, no, then that's a problem. Don't, hey, let go of that doctrine, Bubba, and grasp hold of the gospel once again if you had grabbed it once. Grab hold of it once again. Have that power move, because at the end time, when he's in the air, you're going to have the faith to meet him? Well, you're not, because you haven't have been practicing faith in the gospel, in the power of God.
And all too often.
And that's why it's so destructive. That's why it's a road to hell. Because it wants to take
it's a
that...
delusion.
A delusion. Exactly.
Strong delusion.
That's right. But you're about to say something, Scott. I interrupted. I apologize.
Hi, I was interrupting you. You were interrupting my interruption. But what I was going to say was all too often, you know, that little five-year-old that walks down the aisle and, you know, accepts Jesus, and then you're saying, well, what have you done since? Well, all too often, that five-year-old is in a church or in a group where none of them have seen the power of God. None of them have experienced the power of God. So they don't know, and they think that that's it. That's all that's available. Well, I did it. I'm done. But that's not the case. I mean, if you actually get into the Word and you read it and you know it, you understand it, you believe it, you see that there's far greater things there for you.
Amen. And you know that... Go ahead, I apologize.
For me, I mean, walking into Steve's office and, you know, coming to that decision and then making the decision and seeing him walk and seeing others walk, it just showed me that there was far more there. And, I mean, that's what it's all about. We have to be out doing the Word of God so that others can see that which is available for them, so that they have that opportunity to make the choice.
Amen. And that goes back to, you know, I was kind of in the midst of it, kind of what crossed my mind, and I didn't hit on it in service, but in that what you seen was where Steve was willing to lay down his wants, his desires to take you on to minister unto you. And if he was not willing to be, Lord, not my will be done, but yours, could very much easily completely miss the opportunity of ministering to you and what you needed at that time, if he was not hearing from the Lord, to show you that.
Amen. And as I started working for Steve, there was, you know, the Lord had given, I know, cleared out a space, so to speak, within that law office where, I mean, there was enough work coming in to, you know, cover the bills, pay the bills, at least is my understanding. I mean, I wasn't privy to what Steve's bills were, but he was trusting the Lord because we had an opportunity every day for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, some days maybe it was 4 hours, where we would just sit and he would teach me the things of the Lord. And that was an amazing thing, because we had this opportunity to where he could share this stuff with me, and I was willing to listen and receive it and try to walk in it, and it was an amazing thing.
Amen.
So,
taken that time that Steve did to spend with you and share the gospel with you is a testimony of faith.
Yeah, on his part.
Absolutely, because if he had looked at bills and he needed to do this, his eyes wouldn't have been on the Lord, and that would have never been done. But when the Lord is first in your life, all those things are taken care of. You need Amen. Not to worry about it.
And you know that scripture. What comes to mind in that scripture, and this is kind of going back a little bit about some of the things we've talked about, but you know, he's talking about the seed and the sower, and those some they fell on the ground with the thorns and thistle, and they choked the word, and it what becometh unfruitful. You know, and that word becometh unfruitful, and is one that it started fruitful. But the cares of the world and everything, they choked out the word, and it became unfruitful. And that's where that it, those that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And those that, where you die daily, because it's easy. I mean, it's like, do you have a testimony of what the Lord's done in your life? Yeah, amen. How long ago? 20 years ago. Anything since then? No. There's a problem there. There's a problem. There's more for you, like you were saying, Scott. There's more for you. You know, I know it's like I've dabbed my big toe in what the Lord has for me. Or what the Lord has, let me put, that I can enter into. Let me put it that way. It's not for me a personal plan, but I'm in His, I get to partake of His plan.
Yeah.
It's like I touch my big toe. I know there's so much more that I can partake in.
Yep, and you know, of course, when Paul's talking about being the offscouring, we apostles were the most lowly regarded of men. You know, there's a sense to which, to the world, he's talking about. To the believers, he's not talking about to the world. He's talking about to the people he's ministering to. They judge him, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And he's like the offscouring. He's kind of being sarcastic in criticism of the Corinthians there. But to the world, if you live anything near like what he lived like, you're the worst form of human debris that ever existed. You're foul. And they don't want any part of you. Those are the ones that aren't receiving the truth of His Word. And that's well, a shame. I mean, but that's the way the world... And that's the full disclosure that, you know, everybody didn't get when you signed up. What you signed up for was... You were going to say something?
Well, yeah.
I was fixing to go to text.
But. No, that's great. And I know what text, I think we kind of discussed a little what text you're heading towards. And what you have is, but that's exactly what he was, wasn't it? I mean, he went from city to city, beaten stone, they hated him. Beaten stone, they hated him. Those that rejected the truth hated him.
Paul.
Yeah. Those that loved the truth received him. As a gift of God.
Stayed just a couple of minutes too long.
Yeah.
Because Jesus always managed to get right out.
Well, he was learning to walk still, yeah, Paul. I mean, even though he had the power of God, he was carrying the anointing of the Lord, still learning to walk there. I mean, but what did all they ultimately do? I mean, with Jesus. But he was just that. But he loved not his life unto the death. It was worth it for him. One that others may be able to, he may be able to partake in, others may be able to partake in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that, weren't that what it was? Went from town to town, got beat, but it was worth it. And they were known as offscouring of the world. Man, the world hated them because they were not of the world. Yeah, and because they were not of the world.
Well, there's an enduring hatred for the Jews, the children of Abraham. just the same Jews that came out of the desert, that next generation, the historical Jewish nation is still hated worldwide, and the hatred's coming back in a new and fresh way all over the world.
Well, I mean, you look at Israel itself, I mean, surrounded by, I mean, those guys are probably the best fighters around. They got to be. Because just people, they're constantly getting attacked, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. The trouble is that, by and large, they have traded trust in the deliverance of the Lord for trust in the deliverance of technology and expertise.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
I mean, but you look at it. You look at how, I mean, you go all the way back in Scripture. You can see where that firstborn, the one that was not the seed of, and I'm messing up the Scripture, but the one that was not, I mean, we actually go back to Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Cain hated Abel. Cain was of the world. Of the devil. He hated Abel. Who offered and it's the same thing, and you got it throughout
first
Scripture.
Didn't get the inheritance, the second did.
Yeah, and you see the hatefulness. You look at Isaac and was it Ishmael?
Mm-hmm.
And you look on down the line, still going on today. Still going on today.
Jacob and Esau,
yep. You look at the old man. Hates the new man. And you. What does it say? That the flesh, the carnal man is what? Enmity of God, with God?
Mm.
But that's kind of a different road, so I apologize.
The Romans says, Romans, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. If you don't believe, it's worthless to you because you don't believe. That was the connection all the way back to the Garden of Eden was, do you believe his word? What did he tell you to do? Well, he said, you know, we could do anything at all except eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, He just doesn't want you to be like him. And you know, you listen to that. But if they had believed God, then they would have been covered. But they didn't believe that. Abraham believed God. And what the testimony of Hebrews is, it was reckoned to him as righteousness.
Right.
Not his own. It was God's righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the gospel. It was the gospel in the garden. It's the gospel in Abraham's day. All predates the law.
So it's Paul,
the gospel in the desert. It was the gospel operating in my life. Here now. Doesn't have to go back 2,000 or 4,000 years. It's here now. And its power is now. It's operated in your life. It's operated in Scott's life. Even when Scott didn't know what he was doing with it, it was still operating in his life. And it delivered his daughter, right?
Amen.
Operating in Steve's life. Delivered his son. Right here. In Cottageville.
You mean to tell me that we can choose to partake of this every day?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's the good noise, good news. And if we just wake up, first thing you do, good morning, Lord. Lord, I get to choose to operate in your life today. Thank you, Lord. I choose it. I mean, that's the opportunity. That's the perspective that we need to grasp hold of.
There's you know, as I'm sitting back here, is all kinds of things that derail us and really cause us to become unfruitful. And some of it is, as at some point you get feeling sorry for yourself and go, Lord, I didn't sign up for all this. Well, let's go. Let's look at Matthew. Let's look at Matthew for a minute. Matthew, where am I at? Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth. And this is where Steve was. And it was where I was going to get to, but I didn't get the opportunity. And praise God, that's okay. Behold, I send you forth as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. I signed up for this. Somebody's going to have to do something to gird up my loins then, because I didn't, nobody ever told me about that. And I kind of, when I read this the first time, I'm thinking, well, he's talking about himself, right? I mean, go on.
No, it was in the fine print. You should have worn your glasses.
He's talking about the apostles. Just these disciples he's talking to here, right? All right.
Well, it depends on what you want to partake in.
Nah. Come on. The scourge and synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. Something tells me that's not going to work out well either. Because we're just talking about Paul, that those long journeys he took to stand before the emperor of Rome, that didn't work out in the end for him too well either. But I digress. You know the power of God's operating in your life when you get the opportunity to have him show himself in those circumstances. This is going to be fun. And Paul let him run with that. He had converts in the house of the emperor. That's what he said. He sends the greetings, and one of the Romans or something, I don't remember which book exactly it is, but he says those of the house of Caesar greet you. What? That means his gospel message converted people in the home of Caesar, the emperor, who ended up being the one who put him to death. That is laying down your life so that the gospel can be spread. And his testimony was whether I stay here with you or if I go to be with the Father, immaterial to me. But it may be needful for you for me to stay. So for the time being, here's where I am. I digressed from the track of the scripture. Where was I? Okay, I think I'm in 19 now. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. And that's kind of the way that's the way Paul ministered. He trusted the Lord. Give him utterance, I think is the word he used. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father of the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated for all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Endureth what? The same kind of treatment that Jesus got. Because this is the kind of stuff that will take somebody that has not grabbed all there is to grab in the package of the gospel, and who is still movable. It'll cause them to get all choked out and just wither. But, you know, this is the opportunities that God exposes people to show him how faithful he is, to show them how faithful he is, how you can trust he is reliable, absolutely reliable. And as long as you have submitted to his plan and you're doing his thing, there's nothing can stop you. The power of God, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. That what he did for Jesus, he can do for you. He can raise you from the dead to life eternal. He raised Jesus from the dead unto your salvation. That salvation that he purchased in your place delivers you into the kingdom of heaven. But this is also true. There are going to be people that are hateful, people that are jealous, people that can't stand you because you're showing them up, all kinds of people. You're going to have to endure that. It's the same stuff. Jesus made the Pharisees look bad. Made them look stupid. He made them look inconsistent because they were arrogant and prideful. And that was more important to them, for them to preserve than to receive Jesus. They expected God to send them somebody who justified them. That's not how this works. They expected that in the desert too. They expected to be justified in the way they were.
And, you know, just what's going through my mind as you're saying these things, just some of the confrontations that I've had with some of the guys that I work with, and since, and telling them the truth, and then in telling them the truth, you know what they do? They hate me. Well, they get pissed. I'm not itching their ears. They want the good, cozy, you're great, you're awesome, you're wonderful thing. And the truth, they get very offended.
But it's for the same reason. It's for the same reason that Paul was just saying. They're looking for you, you know, in this situation, to justify them.
Absolutely.
And that's why these folks go to churches where, you know, the preacher, the minister, you know, strokes them and justifies them and makes them feel good. Yeah. But that's not the way the Lord works.
It is. And what you can see, and you know I get judged by some other managers or some other people a lot, quite frankly, at work for not all, but just being, I'm just a jerk. I'm just a straight jerk. But those that heard me, and they might have gotten pissed off and just absolutely hated me at the time, when they turned, they heard what I said, and they actually turned and took what I was telling them, and I gave them a better way to operate, a better way to do things, when they turned and did, these are the guys that became really, really awesome workers. Very valuable to the company. But if I never told them the truth, if I never had that confrontation, if that ugliness just if the things didn't get confronted and become ugly, there would have never been a change. But I was willing to do that to get the change. Not just for them, but for the company, for all involved, the customers, for the, all together. And it's also always an opportunity to preach the gospel to them. And what happens is those become very solid workers. But sometimes I'm very much hated, and people look at me completely different. But isn't that what happens? And kind of going on a different subject, but isn't that happens for us? You know, we talk about that purging process that we have. We have that the refining of the silver, or the refining of the gold, where it gets heated up to the impurities come out and they can be scraped off, so that gold gets purified or the silver gets purified. But man, sometimes you get a glance. Sometimes you get a glance of yourself. Sometimes you get a glance of just how ugly you are. And those impurities, you get a glance of that. But man, what a relief when you hand those things off to the Lord. What a relief when you choose to repent and change from those things. See, if you're never shown those things, there would be no desire to change, because you think you're all right. You think you're all right.
Yeah. Not designed for harm. It's designed as an extension. It's actually grace.
That's exactly what it is. And that's the part of the process where you can change your heart.
Yeah, and change your mind. You
can change your mind.
Choose to act different. Choose to do different. Well, the horrible thing here is not only are you going to get ill treatment from the world, but it says here, brother shall deliver up brother unto death, from your family, and from perhaps even those what you thought were in the body.
Well, you seen Cain and Abel.
When you start getting, yeah.
I mean, they were right beside each other. In the sense, I mean, they were close by. I mean, I don't know if they, you know what I mean, but they were close by.
You know, if you talk to Davey, you know, he's had some of the worst thing done to him by other people who were supposedly preachers of the gospel. You know, and you know, they're just things that you just wouldn't do to people because it's just wrong.
And Davey's message wasn't a message. It was a message to set them free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was Jesus' message.
It's not like God had
freed.
And I don't mean to suggest God didn't abandon him in any of that. God exposed him for being the one who was carrying the truth of the gospel.
It might have stunk for the other guy, but yet that's just more opportunity to change and get partake of the truth in the gospel.
Not like he withered away at all. He kept pressing on, and God met him. So, you know, these are the kind of things that.
But it's in those situations. Sorry to interrupt. But it's in those situations. It can get tough. You know, you're talking about the persecution. This is the part you're talking about. Yeah, I didn't know I signed up for this. This is the part when you're preaching the truth. It can get tough and get ugly. You're there to set them free. They hate you for it.
Even from what you thought were friends and brethren.
Yeah. And so that can be a tough part, but you hang in there. You trust the Lord. You stand firm. You know, we had, just somebody in here, you know, a little bit earlier was uncertain of what they had said or commented on, but it all lined up. She heard messages the day that lined up with the truth of what she commented on. It's an uncomfortable situation, but you stand for their sake. That's part of laying down your life for somebody else. For the Lord and somebody else. Put it that way.
Children shall rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. That's the kind of oppression that you have to be willing to endure until the end. That's the sign of stuff they were trying to do to Jesus. But you know, they did the ultimate thing to Jesus. And he was willing to endure that to the end of that ministry here on earth. And he trusted the Father to resurrect him from the dead to life eternal, just like the promise is to us. But if we abide in him, we ought to also walk as he walked. He walked like this. This we talked in John, was it John 13, where he's washing the feet of the disciples. Like, I'm showing you how to do this. This is how it's done. If you say you abide in me, then you're going to do the things I did. That's going to make you a doer of the word and not a forgetful hearer. It's like sees his face in a glass and then turns away and forgets what manner of man he was. But it, what does it say in Peter? Think not at odd the fiery trials that have been sent. Well, if they did this to him, Jesus, they're going to do it to you. That's just the way that works.
And not only that, just the process of getting the purifying process I was talking about within yourself to get you out of the unbelief and the things that are ailing you.
It's how you learn how to trust God.
Amen. Amen.
And it, by the time you have gotten to that position, when the fiery trials come, you know what's going on. You should be fully equipped to handle it. By the time you've gone through all this and gotten to 1 Peter 4, you ought to be adequately prepared to understand what's going on and deal with it accordingly. This is going to be an awesome opportunity. I can't wait to see what God does here.
Amen. And, you know, I remember listening to Ricky in years past, and he says, you know, there's trialing stuff going all the time. When, you know, there still is now. I mean, Ricky hasn't left. It's not like the trialing stuff stopped. Don't hear me wrong. But there's trialing stuff, and he says,
the particular trials he was dealing with here have stopped.
Yeah, it's not the same one. But anyway. But I remember him. So just to get this point down, I mean, because that's another thing. But he would say, you know, it's one thing to see things going off and going on and going, oh boy, this is a situation. You know, well, how is this going to play out? But he said, but to know that when things are going on and being able to look at the Lord and know that even though these things are all going on, it's just opportunity. It's just opportunity for the Lord to move. And how we would say, it's a whole nother thing. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know what might happen, but you know that the Lord's in it and He's bigger and that He's going to be able to move in the midst of this. And it's a whole different perspective in the battle that you're going in. And you're going into that battle with the confidence in Him. And not in any other thing.
You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That doesn't mean all men all the time necessarily, but it means all men at some time, and you're just going to have to be ready to go through it. Because you're going to tick all kinds of people off along the way.
And there's the choice. I mean, that's the part where do you choose to stand with the Lord? Or do you choose to go your own way? If you look at Scripture as far as looking at, where is it at? I think Timothy? Or somewhere where somebody has left him to be a part of. He was stuck with him as a faithful follower, up with Paul, as a faithful follower.
Timothy and Luke.
Yeah, and I think it was about where one of them has forsaken him.
Titus.
Yeah, Titus, to choose the present world. He just decided to go with the present world in the midst of those things that were going down.
But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That means you regard none of this stuff as something that's going to keep you from pursuing the Lord. It's going to keep you from ministering the Lord. It's going to keep you from trusting the Lord. And keep you from being absolutely expecting to be shocked and amazed at the way He meets you in miraculous ways. The opportunities to prove Himself that these search situations present. When you learn how faithful He is, and you learn that most of the time you're just wrong, and you just learn to trust Him, and that He's taking care of you, as long as you're doing His thing, that's absolutely true. It's going to be, it should turn you into like a kid going into a candy store, just can't wait to see what kind of new goodies they've got waiting for us.
And even if it's like Stephen getting stoned and he sees Jesus coming and get him. Man, what? That's the best gift. Enter in, thy good and faithful servant.
The first message I preach, and as instant entrance. Now, that's showing up big time. When they persecute you. Yeah, go ahead.
All this is really where the rubber meets the road in our lives, and whether we've really died to ourselves and given our life over to Jesus. Because in these situations is where that is manifested.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, where was I? But when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another. For truly I say unto you, verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. I said, Steve says, that sounds kind of wimpy. But it's not. It's persistence. And it's...
I think he said it was humility also, as being humble.
It was showing that you're humble, and the message was more important than you are.
Then you getting rejected or accepted doesn't matter. The message is the most important thing.
Shake the dust off and keep going. That's right. Thank you for pointing that out, James. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. That's impressive. But all these things are going to be known. They're going to be made manifest. And it's unreasonable for you to think that you're going to be... He's got a special plan for you. You're not going to have to go through these same things that he went through. He shows you how to do the things he did. This is how you do my thing, do what I did. And you think you're not going to get the same treatment? I knocked my head into the microphone. Sorry about that, folks, and I apologize for being sorry. But it is unreasonable. It's a fairy tale. What the fairy tale in this is not the message we're reading. The fairy tale is if you have deluded yourself into thinking you're not going to get treated the same way as he was treated. But you subject yourself to that treatment and commit yourself to doing his thing that he spent 30 years showing you how to do.
And in fact,
3 years after, yeah.
And in fact, yeah, I mean, you can expect not to be treated as he did if you're not partaking of his thing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you can go to that. You can do like some of the others, once saved, always saved, and go do your own thing, not be about his thing at all, because, you know, you accept him that one day.
Yeah, well, there's a problem. The only problem in that is the flaw in that argument. It goes back to Matthew 7, 24. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That becomes, yeah, that's an issue.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're just not partaking of what he has. You're not being about his thing. And if you're not speaking the truth and love and preaching the gospel, I mean, yeah, you might not ever get hated, because you're just about being a part of the world and its thing.
You say you know of him. You know, yeah, I know him. Yeah, well, you don't really know him, because if you knew, if you don't do the things that it takes to know him. And when you do the things that it takes to know him, that means to read the Word, study the Word, attend fellowships, gatherings, worship services, submit yourself to authorities over you, and you receive the Word they bring you. That's how you get to know him.
Amen.
And that means you understand that he's faithful and reliable, and at where he meets you in everything, and it reveals a new way that he's going to take care of a situation you had never even fathomed. And in so doing, he gets to know you, and that you are now truly committed to him and doing his thing for the sake of pleasing him rather than showing other people that you're righteous. Because that's pride, and that's iniquity, and that's going to get to depart from me. I never knew you. That's what that's going to get.
But, you know,
go ahead.
There's one, the thing you were going back, and when it says, you know, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And you were mentioning that, that enduring, that hanging on, no matter it be that rough time where people hate you because you're about his business. The other thing, and to stand, but there's another, the other thing I wanted to say in the sense of that, and also is that if you screwed up, don't let that screw up rob you from the grace of God, because isn't that what the gospel's for? You know, that's the other thing. There's many times some of the things that can derail me.
You wake up tomorrow morning and say, remember that screw up today, Lord? Yesterday, Lord? No.
No, absolutely. And that's another thing that will keep you from going forward. Is actually receiving that gospel, receiving that grace, and letting your screw ups keep you from going forward.
Right.
I mean, it's just different subject matter, but grace, something of that
new
can hold you back.
Every day.
Absolutely. It's another opportunity. Another opportunity. And even take that screw up, make it right side up. Isn't that our testimony all the way around?
Yeah. Amen.
But you can fall into that not worthy. And the truth is we never were worthy. If we were, he wouldn't have had to die on the cross. But that's what grace is for.
And our commitment to this deal is, in spite of all that hostility we provoke by speaking the truth, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. Yell it, shout it out, so that everybody can hear what God has done for his people who receive him. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear rather him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's a safe fear. That's the fear that's going to remind you that why be sweating that when all you got to do is do his thing. And shouting that from the housetops, that's his thing. Fearing not for yourself, but trusting in him to deliver you. One way or the other, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, our Lord is able to save us, but whether he does or doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to you, O King.
Amen.
They understood the deal. And if we would grab hold of that, it'll set us free. Trust that whatever happens, you're doing his thing. And all this nasty happens to you, just describe you. That nasty was happening to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was on them, like white on rice.
Paul, Peter, list goes on.
But I choose this day to serve you, O Lord. And I will not bow down to this king. So,
amen.
That's all that takes. All right, guys, it looks like we're going to wrap. Might have had another verse or two, but that's too bad. It's time to get out of here. So say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. May the Lord bless. Texas services up at the top of the hour. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you later.